life. Jesus came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He brought light and life to light through his gospel. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is the source of all good. He is heaven's light. He is wisdom's oration. He is the unparalleled masterpiece of time. I'll tell you, the Lord is in a class all by himself. And if you are interested in life at its best, you need to know Jesus. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 119. And I want to look at verses 104 and 105. Psalms chapter 119. Verses 104 and 105. Psalms 119, 104, and 105. You have that? Say amen. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Using this text this morning, I want to share a very special message that I really believe and hope it will bless, strengthen, and edify you. And the message is entitled, Seven Solid Reasons We Cannot Outsmart the Bible. Seven Solid Reasons We Cannot Outsmart the Bible. And we can't outsmart the Bible in spite of our technological capabilities and abilities. In spite of our scientific abilities, we still cannot outsmart the Bible. Because the Bible has within it a certain vitalness and vitality. And vitality is durability. It means the ability to grow and to continue to exist. And because the Bible has within it a certain vitalness and vitality, the devil wants to keep the Bible away from you. He has two ways of doing it. Luke talks about the fact that when the word of God is preached, the devil comes along and takes away the word, lest you believe it and be saved. And of course, if he can't take it away, then the devil will pervert the word. He knows that a perverted word can't save anybody. And so he, because of the vitalness and the vitality of God's word, the devil strives mightily to keep the word out of our possession. Now the psalmist, who in all probability is David here, he says in verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And what he's saying here is, brothers and sisters, that because of the vitality and the vitalness of the word, I am blessed with understanding. And I can denote or I can discern the false ways. If you notice, if you still have your place in the Bible, if you notice Psalms 98 and 99, he talks about additional benefits that come through the word. He says in verse 98 of 119, through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. And then in verse 99 he said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. That is, what you say, God, is what I think about. What you say, God, is what I feed my mind on. What you say, God, is what I feed my soul on. And as a result of that, I'm wiser than the people trying to harm me. As a result of that, I'm wiser than the people who are instructing me because of the vitality and the vitalness of your word. And then he said, the word is a lamp. A lamp. The word is like a lamp, church, unto my feet. What does a lamp do? A lamp dispenses light. A lamp gives light. We need light in this world, don't we? We need light in our lives. Now, since this is an ancient reference, in all probability, he's talking about a lamp that either burned oil or wax. And when it burned oil or wax, it was able to give light. Now, if you change the terminology and move more to a modern concept, we know that lamps give electric light. So the word of God gives light. And then he said also in the next verse, he said, and it is a light unto my path. And light there denotes direction. Direction. We need directions all the time. That's why we buy GPSs. Because we need, and why we ask direction, because in life you need direction. In all thy ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. Is that correct? So we need light, we need direction. And God's word will provide for us light. It will provide for us direction. And there are no people who are smart enough to outsmart the Bible. Now, when I say outsmart the Bible, I mean by using cunning or cleverness, you get the advantage of the Bible. You can't stay up late enough to outsmart the Bible. You can't study enough to outsmart the Bible. You can't be taught enough to outsmart the Bible. I'm going to give you seven solid reasons why that's true. And the first reason is because, number one, the Bible has always been ahead of us. The Bible has always been ahead of us. No matter how much we learn and grow and discover and study, the Bible has always been ahead of us, because the Bible is a divine revelation. That is, God, the living God, who sits high and looks low, used writers and used preachers and prophets to give us the gift called the Bible. And it is a divine revelation. There are things in it we cannot know or discover on our own. But these things are critical to our lives. The Bible is a divine revelation. I need to know how to be the best person I can be. I need to know what to do with myself. That information is found in the Bible. Amen. And then the Bible deals with, you can't outsmart it, because it deals with the key and critical issues of life. It deals with the issue of origin. Where did we come from? Did we come from the slime, or did we come from the sublime? Did God create man, or did man evolve through a mindless, non-living evolutionary process? Some people are still trying to figure out how we got here. The Bible is ahead of us, and it tells us how we got here. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalms 33, 6 and 9 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spake, and it was. He commanded, and it stood fast. It's ahead of us. Some people still probing the heavens, sending spacecrafts to Mars, trying to figure out how we got here. We already know. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. How do you explain man, complex man? How do you explain human beings? God said, the explanation is, we made man in our image and after our likeness. And Jesus still says today, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, he made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife. Marriage, defined by God and defined by the Bible, is a covenant of companionship between a man and a woman. Now, in case folks didn't get the memo, it is a covenant of companionship between a man and a woman. Is that all right? And let God be true, and every man a liar. Any man who would contradict God can't be right. Amen. And then the Bible is ahead of us because it talks about why we are here. Why are you living today? What's the purpose of your existence? Why are we on this earth? What are we to be doing with ourselves? Well, the Bible explains to us why we are here. And that purpose is to magnify and glorify God, and literally to make a masterpiece of your life. Not make a mess of it, make a masterpiece of it. Is that all right? But you can't make a masterpiece of your life without God's help. Don't you make mistakes? Don't you need help to correct them? Don't we all make mistakes? And if you say you don't, that's a mistake. Is that all right? And somebody said the worst mistake you can make is to fail to correct the mistakes you've made. If you made it, we all make them. But when you make it, be willing to correct it. Is that all right? Sometimes we all miss the mark. Fall short. But if you fall down, get up. Dust yourself off. As Brother Harris said, keep on stepping. Is that all right? That's what you should do. And then the Bible talks about destiny. What we came from, why we're here, and where we're going when our life on this earth is over. And we're rapidly moving to the end. Hello, y'all. Do you realize how time is moving? Time is speeding, isn't it? Remember when you said, I'll be glad when I get grown. Now you wish you to slow up, don't you? Amen, because time is rapidly moving. One poet said, many voices may cry out for time to pause in her passage, but she is deaf to every plea, and she rushes on. Time waits for no one. And the reality is that we're not in this world to stay. We got to leave one day. Is that all right? And the Bible talks about destiny. It talks about what's after death. There is life after death. And the Bible talks about life after death. So we can never outsmart the Bible, because the Bible is ahead of us. It's always been ahead of us. The Bible is higher than science. We think signs is a God, but sign is the servant of God. God is God all by himself. The class all by. Here's a second reason why we can't outsmart the Bible, and that is because you reap what you sow. Hello? This is a great law at work. Every day we reap what we sow. Amen? Nobody can outsmart this law. Everybody uses this law. And the Bible is the great book that teaches me how to use the law of sowing and reaping to my advantage. Sometimes I use this law to my disadvantage. Sometimes the very thing I'm doing is hurting me. Nobody can outsmart the law of sowing and reaping. Now, if you want to be happy, if you want to have joy, if you want to have peace, you've got to sow the seeds and the deeds that produce joy and happiness and peace. The fruit of the Spirit is not worry and anxiety and depression and sorrow. So if I'm worried, if I'm negative, if I'm sad, I'm doing something wrong in my life. You see, I'm sowing the wrong kind of seed. You cannot plant tomatoes and get cucumbers. Hello? Man said one day, he was talking to his neighbor, he said, man, I planted squash and got tomatoes. Now, he said he planted squash, but in reality, he didn't plant squash. If he got tomatoes, he planted tomatoes. If I'm having anxiety in my life, I'm having negativity in my life, I'm having a sorrow and depression in my life because I'm reaping what I've sown on some level. Amen. But the Bible talks about there is a peace. Lord have mercy. How many want that peace that passes all understanding? Boy, ain't that something to have? That's something to want. A peace that passes all understanding. Well, there's some things we have to do to get that peace. It ain't going to come floating to us on the songs we sing. It's not going to come to us on the car we drive. It's not going to come to us on the clothes we wear. It's not going to come to us on the jewelry we wear. There's some seed because everybody reaps what you sow. If you broke financially, hello? You sick? Maybe I did it unwittingly or unconsciously, but the law still works. I reap what I sow. Nobody can outsmart that law. Huh? If I say, Hillary, well, I'm going to lose 15 pounds and go get me 2 Big Macs, quarter pounder, vanilla shake, 6 pies, and a large order of fries, and say, I'm going to lose weight. Who are you kidding? Don't kid the killer. Is that all right? Because you can't fool. You're going to reap what you. If you spend every dime you get, hello, you're going to reap what you sow. If you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't come to church, you're sowing. When you ignore God, you're sowing some seeds. And there's an outcome from that. Talking to a lady one time, she got in trouble, and I was trying to counsel her. She got mad with me, upset with me, because I was just telling her the truth, and she told me God shouldn't have done her like this. And I said to her, God didn't do it, you did it. Hello? Because she made some choices. She sowed some seed. She sowed some seed that brought about. We can't outsmart the Bible. Here's a third reason why we can't outsmart the Bible, and that is nobody makes a fool of God. Nobody makes a fool of God. Because God is the all-wise God. We're living in a world today of deception and danger. There's a lot of deception and a lot of danger in this world. Amen. But yet, Nobody can mislead God because he is all wise, infinitely wise. God is so wise that a bird can't fall to the ground without his taking note. God has the very hairs of our heads numbered. Well, I ain't got no hair. Well, he knew what you used to have. Well, I got my wig on. He know what's in that too. Is that all right? God knows all about us. Nobody can get anything by God. Nobody can get over on God. This is why we can't outsmart the Bible. Because nobody can make a fool of God. Here's a fourth reason. God can never be wrong. God can never be wrong. He's always right. Now, I can't say that about me. I'm not always right. Are you always right? You always right? Not if you tell the truth about it, because if you say I am, you're wrong right there. Is that correct? God is never, ever wrong. Always. And that's why I can't outsmart the Bible. I can't use cunning and cleverness to outsmart the Bible. Because God knows my secrets. God knows my struggles. God knows my problems. God knows my potential. God knows what could be. God knows what ought to be. God knows what should be. Is that right? God knows all about me. Brother Hillary, would you go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse number 13. If you have your Bibles, everyone turn to Isaiah 40, 13. I want to show you something. God is never wrong. Amen. That's number four. God is never wrong. Number one, Bible has always been ahead of us. Number two, you reap what you sow. Amen. Number three, what was number three? I just check and see that y'all know. Number four, God is never wrong. What does Isaiah 40, 13 say?
Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord?
Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Come on.
Or being his counselor.
Or being his counselor.
Hath taught him.
God doesn't need advice. God doesn't need instruction. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 and 36 is quoting the passage Brother Hillary just read. He said in Romans 11, 33, all the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. He said, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who have known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given unto him? And it shall be recompense unto him again. For of him, to him, and through him, all things God can't be wrong on no issue. And that's why I talked about seven solid reasons. You see, seven is the number of completeness. Seven is the number of perfection. There are 7 days in 1 week. There are seven numbers in a telephone number, excluding the area code. Is that right? Jesus performed seven miracles in John's gospel. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said seven words or made seven statements. Is that all right? When the church got in trouble in Acts chapter 6, they chose seven men full of the Holy Ghost and of good report to solve the problem. In the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about the seven stars in Jesus' right hand. It talks about the seven golden candlesticks. It talks about the seven letters written to the churches of Asia Minor. It talks about seven angels having seven trumpets. It talks about seven voices of thunder uttering their voices. The number seven is a number of perfection and completeness, and nobody can make God wrong. He's always right. Here's the fifth reason. And this really gets here. I need Isaiah 40:17. Now, brother. All of the nations of the world are as nothing before God. Like a drop in the bucket. You know, we love to conduct polls today. We're going to do an opinion poll. We're going to see how many think Obama is doing a good job. How many think he's not? How many, what's the likability factor for Romney, Cassie? What's the likability factor, Braxton? I mean, how much do folks like Mitt Romney? We love to do polls. How many folks for same-sex marriages? How many folks for traditional marriages? How many folks for Burger King? How many for McDonald's? We love to conduct polls. But you know, with God, polls don't matter. They don't matter. Matter about you doing a poll. Because all of the world, all of our collective opinions and agreements cannot impeach God's truth. You have Isaiah 40:17. What does that say? Listen to this. Isaiah 40:17. Watch this.
All nations before him
are all nations before him
are as nothing.
Are as nothing.
And they are counted to him less than
and
nothing.
They are counted to him
less than nothing.
Less than nothing.
And vanity.
And emptiness. Read it again, Brother Hillary.
All
nations before God
are as nothing.
Are as nothing.
And they are counted to him.
And they are counted to him.
Less than nothing.
Less than nothing.
And vanity.
And vanity. God doesn't care about people doing polls. Let me illustrate it in this way. God told a man named Noah, a preacher named Noah, to build an ark of gopher wood because a flood was coming. What if the folks in Noah, they had conducted a poll? How many think what Noah preaching is right? 74%. How many think that the ark he's building is right? Now you got one man and his and the seven members of his family and everybody else is against him. Did it make any difference? You just got eight people. That's out of all. Noah did the poll. Only eight folks, seven folks agreed with him. What's the percentage on that, Hillary? out of 8 out of that right, Sam? That right, Rutledge? Sound right? He trying to say he's sidestepping it there. Sound right to me. So if it's wrong, I didn't say it. I said it sound right. I didn't say it was right. He leave you out there on the limb, Hillary. Hillary says 92%, Brother Mill. So we do the poll. 92% of the people say Noah is wrong. Which means only 8% says he's right. So based on the poll, who's right? Well, let's see. Well, a cloud got into a melancholy mood. Condensation had a nervous breakdown. The thunder began to rumble in the distance. The lightning flashed across the bending blue sky. Drops of rain began to fall. Nobody got excited about it because it's just a little rain here. But then after 10 days, early rain just kept falling. Is that all right? 15 days, the rain just kept falling. After a while, there was so much water on the surface of the earth, the ark began to shake and rock in the water. Then about 20 to 25 days, the water began to lift up the ark. Now the poll is 92%. Y'all all right? Versus 8%. Is that all right? Yeah, the rain keeps falling. Is that all right? Then the rain kept falling 30 days and 30 nights. Is that all right? Yes, the rain kept falling 35 days and 35 nights, and the water was getting higher and higher and higher, and the folks were moving up to the mountain trying to hide themselves from the rain. Is that all right? But the poll was 92%. Is that all right? And it was only 8% said that Noah was right. I tell you, all the nations of the world, if all the folks in the world disagree with God, it doesn't matter. Because all the nations in the world are as nothing. And the rain kept falling. The rain kept falling until it fell for 40 days and 40 nights. And everybody on the earth died that wasn't in the ark. Because all the nations of the earth are as nothing before God. Hebrews 11:7 will answer who was right. Hebrews 11:7 quickly. It will answer who was right. It will answer who was right.
By faith.
By faith.
Noah being warned of God.
Noah being warned of God.
Of things not seen as yet.
He didn't follow the crowd.
Moved with fear.
See, some people are addicted to the herd mentality. If the crowd says it, it's got to be right. Let me share something with you. Check this out. See if it's true. Google it. Go online and Google it. See if it's right. The majority of the world has never been right on any issue. Check it out. See if that's so. Hebrews 11:7 says what, Brother Hillary?
By faith.
By faith.
Noah being warned of
God. Noah being warned of God.
Of things not seen as yet.
Things not seen as yet.
Moved with fear.
Moved with reverence and fear.
Prepared an ark.
Prepared an ark. In other words, I don't see the judgment, but I'm preparing for it. I don't see death, but I'm preparing for it. I don't see heaven, but I'm preparing for it. I don't see hell, but I'm preparing to avoid it. Is that all right? Things ain't seen yet, but it's on the way. That's why we can't outsmart the Bible. Come on, Brother Hillary.
Prepared an ark.
Prepared an ark.
To the saving of his
house. To the saving. Now, a lot of people ain't concerned about salvation. Amen. Folks out on the golf club, sleeping in, at the park, they ain't thinking about worshiping God. But just because the majority of people are doing it, is that what you going to do? You think them people going to outsmart the Bible? People who ignore, I had a guy tell me, he said, Moss, well, marriage, man, marriage going out of style. Now, folks ain't married now. Still don't change a thing. Marriage still right. Amen. Marriage is honorable. The bed is undefiled. But home among the adulterers, God's going to judge. Doesn't change a thing. Because all of the nations before the world are as nothing before. Here's number six. God can take the foolish and weak things of the world and confound the wise and the mighty. I need 1 Corinthians 1:27 and 28. I want you to read this. I could quote it, but I want you to read it. Number six, God can take the weak and foolish things of the world. Confound means to puzzle. Confound means to frustrate and to keep from succeeding. God can take things that look weak. He can take things that look foolish and defeat, confuse, frustrate, defeat people who think they're smart. Amen. People who think they're strong. I'm going to demonstrate it for you in two ways. But let's read. What does it say? Quickly.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of
the world. God has chosen the foolish thing of the world.
To confound the wise.
To confound the wise. Confound means to puzzle, to frustrate, to prevent from succeeding. Come on.
And God hath chosen the weak things.
And God has chosen the weak things.
To confound the things which are mighty.
To confound the things which are mighty, the strong folks.
And base things of the world.
And the base thing, things that are despised and looked down upon. Things that you don't think much value to. You might not think prayer is valuable, but God puts prayer on a high level. You might say, ain't nothing to pray. I ain't got to pray. I can make it without praying. But God will take that simple prayer and bless somebody's life. Amen. Give somebody victory. Yes, and defeat you. Amen. And you never saw it coming. Read, Brother Hillary.
And things which are despised.
And things which are despised mean to look down on, take no account of.
Hath God chosen?
God has chosen.
Yea, and things which are not.
And things which not even existing.
To bring to naught things
that are. To bring to naught things that are not. Now, let me illustrate it to you. Watch these two points. In the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. That was the illustration. That was a man running for his life. He's running for his life. Now, this illustration in Amos 5, if you want to, matter of fact, let's go to Amos 5. Now, 18 and 19. Now, this illustration illustrates a man running for his life. But what he's really running from is the judgment of God. He's running from the judgment of God. So Amos, the great prophetic metaphorical prophet, says that a man running from God in judgment is like a man running from a lion, met a bear, went in a house, leaned on a wall, and a serpent bit him. That's what it's like. See, God can command a bear to eat you up. And if you escape the bear, he'll send a lion after you. And if you escape the lion and you run in the house and you pin, thank God, and a snake slide down the wall and bite you. That's what his judgment is like. Read it, Brother Hillary.
Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
To what end is it?
To what end is it?
The day of the Lord is darkness and not light.
It's darkness and not light.
As if a man did flee from a lion.
And a bear met him.
Or went into the house.
And leaned his hand on the wall.
And a
snake bit him. He got killed in his house. He escaped the lion. He escaped the bear. Come close, Blackson. He escaped the lion. He escaped the bear. But the snake got him. This is a powerful text. It communicates a powerful message. What's the message? Here's the message. Nobody can escape judgment. We all got to face judgment. For some people, listen. Judgment is going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster because you can't outsmart the Bible. Well, Brother Moss, who is judgment going to be a disaster for? the rebellious, sinful, and disobedient. If you're in that category, you can run from the lion, you can run from the bear, but the snake will get you. Is that all right? For some people, judgment is going to be a blessing. Have nothing to fear because you're in Christ. You're faithful. You're obedient. You have nothing to fear. Is that right? See, God can take some you think ain't about nothing, confound you. And then the sure enough stroke of genius of God is the cross. The cross. Glory to God about the cross. Look at the cross. Looks like a total disaster. A man being tortured and crucified, nails driven through his hands, nails driven through his feet, brow pierced, the blood streaming down. Side ripped open with a spear. The man is crying out in the darkness, my God, why have you? Doesn't it seem like a disaster? The Greeks, their philosophical arrogance said, the cross is foolishness. Don't talk to me about it. It's foolishness. Crucified Messiah. That's an insult. To the Jew, it's a stumbling block. It's an insult to talk about a crucified Messiah. But to Jeremy Gray, to Patricia Vance, the cross is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Maybe the Muslims can't see it, but I tell you, it's a masterpiece. Because out of that cross, God saves the entire world. And yet some people look at it and say it ain't about nothing. Every Sunday in the churches of Christ, we remember that cross. We take the bread. Thank you, Sister Ryan. We take the cup. Is that all right? Because of what the Lord has done. Amen? And here's number seven as I conclude. Number seven is we cannot outsmart the Bible because of the invincible nature of truth. The invincible nature of truth. Truth is invincible. And something that is invincible means it is too great and too difficult to be defeated. There's nothing we can do. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth. And I see it in my own life. You see it in your life. When you're doing things, that's good how it blesses you. You get away from it. And you ain't blessed like you were. Is that all right? Because truth cannot be defeated. Winston Churchill, the great Briton orator, said concerning truth. He said, malice may attack it. Ignorance may deride it. But in the end, there it is. Is that all right? The truth shall make you free. Doesn't always make you comfortable, but it always makes you free. Is that all right? Solomon said, buy the truth and sell it not. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is the truth? Has one church. Yes, he does. It doesn't matter about people going here, there, and everywhere. It doesn't matter that people see church like old McDonald's. Yeah.
E-I-O. Yes, sir. Put a church here
and a church there. Everywhere, church. Is that all right? But the Lord still has one church. Brother Moss, how do I get into that one church? By hearing the gospel. You can't defeat that. By believing it, you can't outsmart that. By repenting of your sins, you can't outsmart that. By confessing Christ, you can't outsmart that. By being baptized, you can't outsmart that. And I'm going to tell you this, as I go to my seat, and if you don't become a member one day, you're going to wish you had been a member. Because you cannot outsmart. And when you obey the gospel, the Lord adds you to his church. You can't defeat the church. I don't care how many folk disagree with it. You can look it in the eye and go the other way, but it's still right there. Is that all right? You can't get around it. It may be denied, but it can't be avoided. You can't get around the truth. So I'm closing this morning. I'm going to my seat, but I hear the voice of Jesus saying in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight to the blind, to preach at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Is that all right? I'll tell you, this year is 2012, and 2012 is the acceptable year of the Lord. Is that all right? It's something about the number 12. The number 12 is a number of perfection. The number 12 is a number of completion. Is that all right? There are 12 months in a year. I wish I had somebody. Is that all right? There are 12 hours in a day. There are 12 hours in a night. Is that all right? A child takes 12 years for a child to go from the first grade to graduate from high school. Is that all right? Jesus chose 12 apostles to preach the gospel to the world. Is that all right? There are 12 tribes of Israel. Is that all right? I tell you, 12 is a very important number. The woman with the issue of blood had been sick for 12 years. Is that all right? But in her 12th year, she got healed. Is that all right? Jairus' daughter was 12 years old when the Lord came by and healed her. Is that all right? At 12 years old, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, this is the year of the Lord. This is 2012. Is that all right? And somebody ought to say, Father, 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 I stretch my hand to thee because no other help I know. Is that all right? If you withdraw yourself from me, oh, whither shall I go? Is that all right? I tell you, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. Is that all right? God's word is like the rain and the snow that cometh down and returneth not thither, but water and spring. They give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Is that all right? I tell you, you can't outsmart the Bible. Is that all right? Why? Because all flesh is his grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endures forever. I tell you, you can't outsmart the Bible. Is that all right? You ought to say, give me the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Is that all right? Because you just cannot, outsmart. You can't outmaneuver. You can't flim-flam. You can't hoodwink. You can't bamboozle. You can't pigeon drop. The Bible is in a class all by itself. Heard somebody say, I entered this wonderful temple called the Bible. I entered at the portico of Genesis, and I walked down the Old Testament gallery for the pictures of Moab, Jacob, and Daniel hung on the wall. I moved into the music room of Psalms, for the Spirit swept the keyboard of nature until it seemed that every reed and pipe in God's great organ of nature responded to the tune for harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. Then I moved into the chapel of Ecclesiastes, for the voice of the preacher was heard. Is that all right? Then I moved to the book of Proverbs, and I gleaned wisdom from God. Then I moved to the observatory room of the prophets, and I saw different telescopes of different sizes, all pointing to the bright and the morning star that would rise above the Judean hills for our salvation. Is that all right? Then I stepped into the correspondence room, where I saw Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John sitting down writing their gospel. Is that all right? I moved to the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit was at work in the formation of the infant church. Is that all right? Yes, I moved to the epistles, where I saw Paul and John and Peter writing their epistles. Is that all right? Then I stepped into the throne room of Revelation, where all towered in the glittering peaks. And I heard a voice say, all hail the power, Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Crown him. Oh, crown him. Crown him, Lord of all. You ought to crown him, because you can't outsmart the Bible. You ought to crown him, because you can't outmaneuver the Bible. Is that all right? It's right, and it cannot be wrong. You can fuss all night, but the Bible is still right. So don't get caught up in numbers, because folks rejecting the Bible is still right. It's still in a class by itself. Would you stand, please? That's the message. Amen. How many want the Bible today? The Bible is a marvelous book. It's a great book. It's an important book. It's a powerful book. Amen. And the best thing for me to do is humble myself under the teaching of the Bible. Sometimes people miss church, and you might ask them where they've been. I'm grown. You don't tell me what to do. I know what you are. But see, you ain't hurting me when you don't come to church. You hurting you. Amen. You know why? Because you can't outsmart the Bible. Amen? It's in a class all by itself. So, the thing we should do is say, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my cry? You know that why on the stock. Oh, I want to know, do not pass. I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry. You know that why on a bus dock would call. I wanna know, do not pack me. I'm